You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide. Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. And this show is for the 12th of February 2018. And my, how the time flies. Oh boy. We are in the book of Jasher. That's Sefer HaYashar. That's Book of the Upright. As I keep saying, Jasher is not a fellow's name. It is the title of a book, and it means Book of the Upright. So that's what it means. Before I get too far into this, let me give my website. It is https://www.pastor.com. P-A-S-T-O-R hyphen Steve, S-T-E-V-E, .com. All my shows are on there, available for download or just listening. There's no interaction on the site, so there's not going to be any trolls, no comments section. It's a learning site. I have two seed line links to other two seed line Christian Identity folk, stuff for sale. All the word for word shows are on there, and all the wake up call shows are on there. And I'm real happy with the little site. It's not real big. It's not real fancy. It is just basic, and it's exactly what is needed. So let us get into this text. We have gone through the portion where they have sold the brother Yosef to the Midianites, and the Midianites were afraid of him, so they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and now he's going down into Egypt, and the brother Reuben came back, and that's where this picks up. They sold him while Reuben was gone, and he didn't know about it. In the beginning of chapter 43, they changed their mind. They're sorry that they sold him, and they want to get him back. So let me get a drink of coffee and clear my throat, and we'll launch into chapter 43 of the book of Yashar. Ooh, that's hot. That's the only way to drink it. That morning coffee. This is the wee hours of the morning. So, I'm going to take it a little bit slow. We're probably just going to do chapter 43 today. Verse 1 of chapter 43. And when the sons of Yaakov had sold their brother, Yosef, to the Midiani, that's the Midianites, their hearts were smitten on account of him, and they repented of their acts, and they sought for him to bring him back, but could not find him. In other words, they were mad at him because he'd had all these dreams, and he came down, and he had a pretty coat that reached palms and soles. They have a coat of many colors in the King James, but if you really look it up, it's a coat that reached palms and soles. Doesn't matter. He had a fancy coat. We're not going to nitpick on small details. It's the major acts that we're getting into here. Verse 2. And Reuben returned to the pit in which Yosef and they had been put, and that's in the italics, in order to lift him out and restore him to his father. And Reuben stood by the pit, and he heard not a word. And he called out, Yosef, Yosef! And no one answered or uttered a word. Verse 3. And Reuben said, Yosef has died through fright, or some serpent has caused his death. Because you remember, the pit was full of serpents and scorpions. Had a lot of stuff. They were living in the walls of the pit. It was supposed to be a well, but it was dry. And it was cooler down in the pit out of the direct sun. And the serpents and the scorpions were living down in there too. And Reuben descended into the pit, and he searched for Joseph and could not find him in the pit, and he came out. Pardon me. Verse 4. And Reuben tore his garments, and he said, "The child is not, and how shall I reconcile my father about him if he be dead?" And he went to his brethren and found them grieving on account of Joseph and counseling together how to reconcile their father about him. And Reuben said unto his brethren, "I came to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not there. What then shall we say unto our father? For my father will only seek the lad from me." Well, Reuben was the firstborn and was the leader. He was the oldest. And basically, he was in charge. Verse 5. And his brethren answered him, saying, "Thus and thus we did, and our hearts afterwards smote us on account of this act, and we sit to seek a pretext how we shall reconcile our father to it." Well, the brothers had fought, and brothers can have some awful fights. Well, they were tired of Joseph. And I guess Joseph was bragging on himself, and he was doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And they grabbed him and threw him in the pit. Ah, smarty, see, now how is it down there? Well, verse 6. And Reuben said to them, "What is this you have done to bring down the gray hairs of our father in sorrow to the grave? The thing is not good that you have done." Because he wasn't there when they did all of this. Okay. Verse 7. And Reuben sat with them, and they all rose up and swore to each other not to tell this thing unto Jacob. And they all said, "The man who will tell this to our father or his household, or who will report this to any of the children of the land, we will all rise up against him and slay him with the sword." In other words, keep your mouth shut. Verse 8. And the sons of Jacob feared each other in this matter, from the youngest to the oldest, and no one spoke a word, and they concealed the thing in their hearts. Verse 9. And they afterward sat down to determine and invent something to say unto their father Jacob concerning all of these things. Morning frog. Verse 10. And Issachar said unto them, "Here is an advice for you, if it seem good in your eyes to do this thing. Take the coat which belongs to Joseph, and tear it, and kill a kid of the goats, and dip it in its blood." Verse 11. "And send it to our father, and when he sees it, he will say, 'An evil beast has devoured him.' Therefore, tear ye his coat, and behold, his blood will be upon the coat. And by your doing this, we shall be free of our father's murmurings. In other words, they were going to shift the blame through deception and say, oh, some beast has killed him. A lion or a wolf or whatever. Wild country out there, you know, very possible. Ah, there we go. Had to get another hit of coffee. Verse 12 of chapter 43. And Issachar's advice pleased them. And they hearkened unto him, and they did according to the word of Issachar, which he had counseled them. Verse 13. And they hastened and took Yosef's coat and tore it. And they killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood of the kid and then trampled it in the dust. And they sent the coat to their father Yaakov by the hand of Naphtali. And they commanded him to say these words. In other words, they made that coat look like it had been in a fight, and there's blood all over it and mud, and they made it look like evidence, okay? Deception. Verse 14. This is what he's supposed to say to his father. Verse 14. We had gathered in the cattle and had come as far as the road to Shechem and farther. All right. Cattle is a generic term for livestock. Okay. Not just cows, but sheep and goats also. When we found this coat upon the road in the wilderness, dipped in blood and in dust, now know whether it be thy son's coat or not. Verse 15. And Naphtali went, and he came unto his father, and he gave him the coat, and he spoke unto him all the words which his brethren had commanded him. And Yaakov saw Yosef's coat, and he knew it. And he fell upon his face to the ground and became as still as a stone. In other words, he was in shock. And he afterward rose up and cried out with a loud and weeping voice, and he said, it is the coat of my son Yosef. Because evidently it was handmade just for Yosef, was present, okay, that he had given him. Verse 17. And Yaakov hastened and sent one of his servants to his son, who went to them and found them coming along the road with the flock. Verse 18, and the sons of Yaakov came to their father about evening, and behold, their garments were torn, and dust was upon their heads, and they found their father crying out and weeping with a loud voice. He was all upset that his favorite boy might be dead. Bad business. Verse 19, and Yaakov said unto his sons, tell me truly, what evil have you this day suddenly brought upon me? And they answered their father Yaakov, saying, We were coming along this day after the flock had been gathered in, and we came as far as the city of Shechem by the road in the wilderness, and we found this coat filled with blood upon the ground, and we knew it, and we sent unto you if you could know it. In other words, identify it. They just lied right there. Verse 20. And Jacob heard the words of his sons, and he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "The coat of my son, an evil beast has devoured him. Yosef is rent in pieces, for I sent him this day to see whether it was well with you and well with the flocks, and to bring me word again from you. And he went as I commanded him, and this has happened to him this day, while I thought my son was with you." Oh, he was just tore up. Absolutely. This was his second youngest son and his favorite. Now, oh, they don't have favorite. Yeah, they do. Parents can have a set of twins, and they'll like one more than the other because the personality is different. We're not clones, okay? And your personality changes as you grow older and you mature. You may be a little brat when you're young. Yosef may have been a little brat. You know, he's the second youngest kid. And sort of snotty toward his older brothers. You know how little kids can be. Well, he was a kid, little kid. That's, nothing's changed. He didn't get to be the man that he became until later. Verse 21, and the sons of Jacob answered and said, "He did not come to us." That's another lie right there. "Neither have we seen him from the time of our going out from thee until now." Another big lie right there. Big fat lie. Verse 22. And when Jacob heard their words, he again cried out aloud, and he rose up and tore his garments, and he put sackcloth upon his loins. He dressed himself in sackcloth. And he wept bitterly, and he mourned, and lifted up his voice in weeping, and exclaimed and said these words, "Yosef, O my son Yosef, I sent thee this day after the welfare of thy brethren, and behold, thou hast been torn in pieces. Through my hand has this happened to my son." Blaming himself because he sent him. Okay? That's an important thing. It's self-blame, and that is causing great pain. Great pain. The old man is hurting, and they did this to him, to his, their father. And that's why they were punished later. That none of them got the birthright. Yosef got the birthright in the end. And he was the ruler of the family because they had all done stuff that disqualified him. The only one that was fit for the birthright is going to be Yosef when all of this settles later. Verse 24. "It grieves me for thee, Yosef, my son. It grieves me for thee. How sweet were you to me during life, and now how exceedingly bitter is your death to me." 25. Oh, that I had died in your stead, Yosef, my son, for it grieves me sadly for thee, my son. Oh, my son, my son. Yosef, my son, where are you, and where hast thou been drawn? Arouse, arouse from thy place, and come, and see my grief for thee. Oh, my son, Yosef, he's just crying. He's just grieving the grief of a father that's just lost his son. And who caused that? The brothers. Verse 26. Come now and number the tears gushing from my eyes down my cheeks, and bring them up before Yahweh, that his anger may turn from me. He thinks Yahweh's anger is on him and he took his son. That's not so. Okay. Verse 27. O Yosef, my son, how did you fall? By the hand of one by whom no one has fallen from the beginning of the world unto this day. For you have been put to death by the smiting of an enemy, inflicted with cruelty. But surely I know that this has happened to you on account of the multitude of my sins. Again, he's blaming himself, thinking Yahweh has smitten his son because of something he has done. He's taken the blame on himself. And this is what the sons did to their own father with their lies. Oh. Can you imagine how that poor man felt? Verse 28. This is an emotional chapter. Verse 28. Arouse now and see how bitter is my trouble for thee, my son. Although I did not rear thee, nor fashion thee, nor give thee breath and soul, but it was Yah who formed thee, and built thy bones, and covered them with flesh, and breathed in thy nostrils the breath of life. And he gave you unto me. A gift from Yahweh. Okay. Verse 29. Now truly Yahweh gave thee unto me, he has taken thee from me. And such has befallen thee this day and all the works of Yah are good. In other words, he doesn't blame Yahweh, he blames himself. And he was saying, so be it, if it's your will, so be it. The grievings of a righteous man. Verse 30. And Jacob continued to speak like unto these words concerning Yosef, and he wept bitterly. He fell to the ground and became still. Verse 31. He was an old man at that point. Verse 31. And all the sons of Jacob, seeing their father's trouble, they repented of what they had done, and they also wept bitterly. Because none of them knew what happened to him. They threw him in the pit. Then they sold him to the Midianites. Reuben didn't know they sold him till he got back. Verse 32. And Yehuda rose up and lifted his father's head from the ground and placed it on his lap, And he wiped his father's tears from his cheeks, and Yehuda wept an exceedingly great weeping, while his father's head was upon his lap, still as a stone. Verse 33. And the sons of Jacob saw their father's trouble, and they lifted up their voices and continued to weep. And Jacob was yet lying upon the ground, still as a stone. Their father was in shock. It could have killed him. I need a little coffee here. Verse 34. And all his sons and his servants' children rose up and stood around him to comfort him, and he refused to be comforted. Okay? He just, you know, couldn't console him. He was taking the blame on himself. Verse 35, you understand the guilt the brothers incurred by doing what they did? And then lying? Verse 35, and the whole household of Jacob rose up and mourned a great mourning on account of Yosef and their father's trouble. And the intelligence reached Yitzhak, the son of Abraham, the father of Jacob. And he wept bitterly on account of Yosef. Can you imagine how old Isaac was at that point? He and all his household. And he went from the place where he dwelt in Hebron, and his men with him, and he comforted Jacob his son. And he refused to be comforted. He was bearing guilt that he didn't need to bear, but he didn't know. Verse 36. And after this, Jacob rose up from the ground, and his tears were running down his cheeks, and he said unto his sons, rise up, and take your swords and your bows, and go forth into the field, and seek whether you can find my son's body, and bring it unto me, that I may bury it. Seek, I pray you, among the beasts, and hunt them, and that which shall come the first before you, seize and bring it unto me. Perhaps Yahweh will this day pity my affliction and prepare before you that which did tear my son in pieces, and bring it unto me, and I will avenge the cause of my son. He said, hunt down the beast that killed him. He still thought a beast killed him. And they were going to go along with it because they were perpetuating the lie. They didn't have the guts, even after all the battles they had fought and slaying all the whole towns. They couldn't face their father with the truth. Verse 38, and his sons did as their father had commanded them. And they rose up early in the morning, and each took his sword and his bow in his hand, and they went forth into the field to hunt the beasts. They were looking for predators, okay? Lions and tigers and bears, oh my! Verse 39, and Jacob was still crying aloud and weeping and walking to and fro in the house and smiting his hands together, saying, Yosef, my son, Yosef, my son. He was torn up. Absolutely torn up. Verse 40. And the sons of Jacob went into the wilderness to seize the beast, and behold, a wolf came toward them, and they seized him and brought him unto their father, and they said unto him, this is the first we have found, and we have brought him unto thee, as you did command us, and thy son's body we could not find. Because they know that they had sold him. Verse 41. And Jacob took the beast from the hands of his son, and he cried out with a loud and weeping voice, holding the beast in his hand, probably by the throat. And he spoke with a bitter heart unto the beast, why did you devour my son Yosef, and how did you have no fear of the Elohim of the earth, or of my trouble for my son Yosef? Verse 42. And you did devour my son for nothing, because he committed no violence. And you did render me culpable on his account. Therefore Yah will require him that is persecuted. Now here comes a miracle. Verse 43. And Yahweh opened the mouth of the beast in order to comfort Jacob with its words. And it answered Jacob and spoke these words unto him. All right, let's stop right here. This wolf is going to speak. There are numerous instances in Scripture, not a lot of them, but they're enough, where an ass would speak, you know, a donkey. Bileam was beating his donkey because he ran him into a wall. Well, the donkey saw the angel waiting for him with a sword. And the donkey spoke, just, why are you beating me? Don't you see this angel up here with a sword? And then Bileam's eyes were opened and he saw. Well, that's in the Scripture too. Donkey talk. Now here a wolf is going to speak. Verse 44. As Yah lives who created us in the earth, and as your soul lives, my Lord, I did not see your son, and neither did I tear him to pieces, but from a distant land I also came to seek my son, who went from me this day, and I know not whether he be living or dead. The wolf was looking for his pup. And I came this day into the field to seek my son, looking for his pup. And your sons found me and seized me and increased my grief and have this day brought me before you, and I have now spoken all my words to you. Verse 46. And now therefore, O son of, and they have O son of man in here. It's probably Adam. I don't have the Hebrew for the book of Yasher. I don't have it. And now therefore, O son of Adam, I would say, I am in your hands, and do unto me this day as it may seem good in your sight. But by the life of Yah who created me, I did not see your son, nor did I tear him to pieces, neither has the flesh of man entered my mouth all the days of my life. And again, the man would probably be Adam. In other words, he wasn't a man-eating wolf. Verse 47. And when Yaakov heard the words of the beast, he was greatly astonished and sent forth the beast from his hand, and she went her way. It was a female, okay, looking for her pup. Verse 48. And Yaakov was still crying aloud and weeping for Yosef, day after day, and he mourned for his son many days. That ends chapter 43. Okay. I guess he was greatly astonished that an animal would talk to him. But this again was the workings of Yahweh, and there is nothing beyond Yahweh's power. There just isn't. And we keep trying to downsize Yahweh and make him more manageable, so we, in our feebleness, can understand him. That's not going to happen. We cannot keep fooling ourselves like this, that Yahweh is manageable, that his power and his influence and his glory we can even comprehend. He is so far beyond us, and with our ego as people, we have a hard time dealing with this. I mean, it's rough on us. Oh, I'm just a little man. And there's this being out there that created everything just by force of will. And we don't like to bow down, even to the eternal, almighty, divine being. We have problems with that because we have an ego, and that gets us into trouble all the time. All the time. We keep on trying to elevate ourselves up again to little g God status. That's the lesson that's being given in here. Even though we've got all this technology, who invented the technology? Who gave us the technology? Who gave us the mind to develop the technology? In other words, to comprehend enough to make things work. When the design and all the plans and the very rules of nature that would govern said technology are Yahweh's. He's the creator. The creator. But no, we want to think, because we have science, that we are up on some kind of deified level. And he humbles us for that. It's a humbling procedure. We keep trying to bring other deities into our lives, into our society, which is what we do. We've had all kinds of little statues and this and that and all this other business. Sports figures. We think we're so high and mighty over a football player or a basketball player or a musician or a singer or an actor, and we set them up on pedestals. And just in general, Israel has degenerated. Now, the rest of the world, I'm not talking about the rest of the world, only Israel. I'm not concerned about non-Israelites. They are what they are. They're here. It's a fact. They're doing some perversions and sickness and violence and all that stuff. I'm only concerned about the spirituality of my own race, the race of Israel, the Adamic seed line. The others are going to do what they're going to do. They don't have an eternal future. We do, if we repent and get back to being obedient to Yahweh. There's a lot of people, I guess, in the Judeo-Christian churches that do good. They don't call on his name. They call on the Lord or God. They don't say Yeshua. They say Jesus. But they're nice to other people. They're not greedy. They don't steal. They're obeying the laws. Why? Because the laws are written in their hearts. It says in Scripture, I will write my laws in your hearts. Well, they're staying. They may use the wrong terminology. But Yahweh's not going to condemn them for that. It's not just going to be CI people in the kingdom. We are privileged to know the truth. We are privileged to know that the name is Yahweh. And the name is Yahshua or Yehoshua. That's iffy. People don't know about the pronunciation. Not everybody's going to speak Hebrew. Not everybody's going to. But if their hearts are good and they realize that Yahweh is the supreme deity, I don't know that he won't let them in the kingdom. I'll be real honest. Well, they didn't call on the name of Yahweh. Okay. They're ignorant. Okay. That doesn't mean they're evil. They will be judged according to their works in this life. If we judge them, who are we to do that? Now, what do I do about them? And I can only control my own life. I can't control anybody else's. I teach the word, and I hope that the knowledge that I have been given as a gift, I can pass on. And by the response to these broadcasts, I know I'm reaching people. And so are the other people on EFR and like venues. You can get a lot of truth out there, not just from EFR. You can get it from other sources. There's a lot of us that are dealing out the truth. As Israelites, it's our duty to witness to people and to tell them about Yahweh and Yahshua. They hear that name. Teach the holy name. It will be of benefit to your brothers and sisters. Now, they may not be CI, but if they're doing good and their hearts are good, Yahweh's going to look at that. Because we all have to remember, CI or not CI, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. So, let's not be too harsh. Now, we see the machinations of the children of the serpent. They are not redeemable. They are hated by Yahweh. And they will be destroyed. They are trying to destroy, especially through deception and lies and dumbing down the children of Israel. We see that in the school systems. We see that in the churches that they have infiltrated. We see their evil workings. They're going to have to pay for that. But it is our job as people that believe in Christian identity, CI people, to witness and try to wake up these brethren. That's why I keep on week after week after week after week, day after day after day after day. In public, in private, it doesn't matter. I speak of Yahweh. You should too. Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be shy. Well, somebody might, they might take offense. And, well, they might not like me. And, witness to people. You've been given a gift of the truth. You know his holy name. You know his holy miracles that he's done. What is more important than passing that on and maybe getting a brother or sister that's just not quite on the money? They're almost there if you can bring them over across that fence. It talks about crowns. Workers in the harvest. Now, workers in the harvest has the word work in it, doesn't it? Everybody's not going to be a preacher. But you can witness. You can have a heart-to-heart with somebody that you see is leaning toward the truth, who's waking up, and more and more and more are waking up every day You can witness to them. You can tell them about all the miracles and about the salvation and redemption offered by Yeshua Messiah. We see in this chapter, even with all the adversity, Yaakov is calling on Yahweh and says, "Oh, what have I done? Taking the blame on himself." Well, Yahweh is going to assuage that in part. He says, through this beast, I can't, a wolf can talk. What if Yahweh made the entire universe, all the laws of it, all the laws of physics, all this other stuff? He can make an animal speak. What's beyond the power of Yahweh? Nothing. Quit trying to downsize him. There's a miracle. There's going to be more. I'm going to take up in chapter 44 on Wednesday the 14th. This is my 343rd word for word. It slowed down a little bit because I'm not doing 5 new shows a week. I'm only doing 3. And I've got reruns planned so people can catch up on my past shows. I will be bringing information on Yahweh's solar calendar. They're done. Eli's got some. I'm going to get my copy. He's going to send me a copy. It's going to be like last year. They're absolutely beautiful. We will give you all the information on how to get them. Believe me, it's got all the feast days in there, the right dates. Just really a good work. Brother Hebert did them. Brother Hebert's website is www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. That's all one word, no separation. thinkoutsidethebeast.com. He's got all kinds of stuff on there. Just all kinds of stuff. You'll like it. I'm coming down the end here of this lesson. I'll be back with the 44th chapter of the book of Yashar on Wednesday the 14th. Pretty much that's going to wrap it for today. And it's been a pleasure. I really love these stories. They really get me going. Very exciting. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and I'll talk to you again on Wednesday.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.